The following message was recorded at Geneva Presbyterian Church in Canton, Michigan, on Sunday, September 4th, 2011, at the 10 o'clock service. The scripture lesson was 2 Kings, chapter 5, verses 1 through 15a. The sermon was delivered by Pastor Brian Smith, and the title of the message was Faces of Faith, Part 4.
We just sung about the fact that we want to give God highest praise and honor and glory. But doing that is not something that comes naturally or easy for us as human beings. Praise is something that God often must sort of evoke from us, as God does the kinds of things that only God can do. In our next scripture reading, find a man who did not know the Lord. He was not a Hebrew. He was a man who lived in a different kind of culture and religion. He belonged to the Aramites. But God found a way to even evoke praise from the lips of this man who had no knowledge of God prior to this story. Listen now for God's word to you as I share this story collected for us in the book of 2 Kings. Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now bands from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. "By all means, go," the king of Aram replied. "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, "With this letter I am sending my servant Naaman to you, that you may cure him of his leprosy." As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message, "Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him, "Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot, and cure me of my leprosy. Are not the Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than any of the waters in Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned and went off in a rage. Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed?" So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him. And his flesh was restored, and became clean like that of a young boy. Then Naaman and all his attendants went back to the man of God. He stood before him and said, Now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. May God bless to our hearing and to our living this reading from God's holy word. Well, I got a bit of surprise when I stepped on the scale this past Thursday. I saw the number 193 staring up at me. Since I wasn't holding dumbbells at the time, I knew that that meant that I had gained 15 pounds over the past year. I figured out at that rate I'll weigh about 410 by the time I get my first Social Security check. Not wanting to weigh 410 pounds in about 15 years, I decided I should do something about this trend that had happened. Many of you know I've had quite the year with the death of my mom and so on. And apparently I've sought comfort through food. And so I decided I need to make some changes about that. And I remember that I had received a letter about 6 months ago from the Board of Pensions, the group that oversees my health insurance. And the letter is up here. And there's a question there. Are you ready to get healthier? It was dated March 17th. So I held on to this letter for about 16 months till I was really ready to get healthier. And one of the things they're offering is this active lifestyle coaching. I get to talk to an active lifestyle coach once a week to help get my health back on track. And so I called Courtney, the health coach, and we had our first conversation on a Friday, and we decided there are some things that I need to be doing, you know, to get my health back on track. Well, Naaman here is confronted by something worse than gaining a few pounds. He doesn't step on a scale one day and see a big number staring at him. He realizes there's a lesion forming on his skin somewhere. We're not sure where that lesion is, but the writer tells us that Naaman had leprosy. Now, back in Naaman's day, that could refer to a whole host of skin problems, with the most mundane being psoriasis. But there's something that's going on his skin that's cause for alarm, and he knows that if he does not get help for that, he'll end up being ostracized from his people and perhaps even dying. So as Naaman's trying to figure out what to do, what comes to mind for him is not a letter that gets sent from his health insurance company, but some words that come from a servant girl who was taken captive by the Aramites. She says to Naaman's wife, "If only my master would see the prophet who was in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman acts on the tip and begins heading to Samaria. Now, he doesn't just jump on a horse or begin walking from Aram to Samaria. He has to take a whole host of folks with him, because we're told early on in this passage that Naaman was not your ordinary Joe. We're told that he was a great man in the sight of his master, who happened to be the king. And highly regarded, he was a valiant soldier. So Naaman heads off with an entourage in tow. Anybody ever had an entourage behind you, serving you as you traveled? I'm not talking now about kids, you know. I'm talking about people who are there as servants to tend to your every detail. Me neither. I've never had an entourage serve me. Only important people have entourages, right? The Queen of England, she has one. The President, I'm sure he has one. Rock stars seem to have folks who form an entourage. Professional athletes, many of them have an entourage. The pastors, engineers, teachers, ordinary folks, we don't tend to travel with an entourage. But Naaman was a great man. He was a bigwig, a mover and a shaker. He was on the A-list of Aramean society. He was the guy who walked the corridors of power. Naaman was a big deal. Some of you might recall back in the days of the first Gulf War, in the early, in the late 80s, early 90s, there was a general named Norman Schwarzkopf. Remember his name? He had a nickname. Stormin' Norman. Well, here we have Stormin' Naaman. And Stormin' Naaman storms into Samaria with his entourage, seeking help for this thing called leprosy. And he doesn't just have his folks there to serve him. We're also told he brought with him a vast treasure chest of wealth. 6,000 shekels of gold. A shekel is about 6/10 of an ounce. Anybody know what gold's been selling for by the ounce recently? It's right around $2,000 an ounce. So in today's dollars, a shekel would be about $1,200. 6,000 times 1,200 is about $7.2 million. Plus 10 talents of silver. A talent is about 26 kilograms. So he had about $1 million in silver. Throws of clothing, we're told, that probably didn't come from coals or pennies, but it was probably high, top-of-the-line designer clothes. So he's bringing about $10 million with him as well. Why? Because the king wants Naaman to be healed. This is an important guy. So protocol would be that when the king of Aram sends Naaman, he would go to the king of Israel. It would be a breach of etiquette to go straight to the prophet's house. So he shows up at the king of Israel, and the king of Israel is not too happy. Curing leprosy? I can't do that. And he begins to think the king of Aram has a plot here. He's going to set me up. He'll say, I sent you my servant to heal. You didn't heal him. That gives him a pretense perhaps to invade Israel. So he's distraught. He's perplexed. He's getting himself all worked up into a knot, and the anxiety begins to move out from the palace all through the land of Israel till it gets to Elisha, sitting there somewhere in his home. So Elisha sends a messenger to the king and tells him what? He says, have him come to my house, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman packs up his treasure, the entourage, they all pack up their suitcases, they all get on their horses or their camels or whatever, and they begin to head over to Elisha's house. And when they get to Elisha's house, try to picture this great, great man, this valiant general and warrior, and all of his service and his gold. They get to Elisha's house, and what does Elisha do? He sends out a messenger to talk to them. And Naaman's not too happy about that. It's kind of what I felt when we went to Disneyland this past Tuesday out in Southern California. I haven't been there probably in 20, 30 years. Tickets now are $80 a piece. Fortunately, we had someone I knew from my last church who was able to get three of us in for free. But we get to the front entrance, and there's a sign that says, sorry, but today the Matterhorn and the Haunted Mansion are not in service. Two of the A-list attractions are offline the day I happen to show up. So Naaman shows up, not at Disneyland to be entertained, but at a prophet's house to be healed, and basically he's told, you know what, the star attraction's not available to meet with you. But here's this errand boy who's come to share a message with you. And what the message says is, go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you'll be cleansed. And when Norman gets this message from this errand boy, he explodes. He's offended and he's annoyed. After all, he's a great